Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The Book of Joe podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome back to the Book of Joe podcast. And I know, Joe, you and I are really looking forward to our conversation with our next guest, Jason Heyward. I know you've got a lot of players that you've managed, Joe, but this has got to be one of your favorites, huh?
That is true. And he and I have spoken about this in the past. And Jay, just so you know, a big part of our broadcast and our podcast is try to get and connect with the glue guys that we consider the glues, the glue component within a team. And when we came up with this concept originally, your name was kind of front and center. Jay Hay, he's the guy that always put the team ahead of his own personal feelings. That's something that I gathered from you from the very beginning. And that's a really big reason why guys and players are drawn towards you. But anyway, welcome to our show. You're a true glue guy, and I just wanted you to know that's part of the premise here today.
Awesome. No, I appreciate you guys having me and, considering me as a glue guy. You know, when I think of baseball and my 13-year career, you know, I think of, you know, when I think of Tom Verducci, Joe Maddon, you know, these are people that are around a lot of important baseball games, a lot of important baseball thoughts, and, you know, I see both of you guys in playoff baseball as well. So, no, it's awesome to join you.
Well, Jason, we're going to dive into the glue guy effect really quickly here, but I got to give you props too. 13-year career, as you mentioned, 5 Gold Glove awards. That's rare company. And this is the other thing I looked at. Jason compiled more than 1,400 hits, 150 homers, and 100 stolen bases. Now, there's been 22,000 or so major league players across history, and only 156 have reached those levels. That is, by my math, less than 1% of all players. So we're going to get into the glue, but this guy could play too, Joe.
Absolutely. And that's part of it. Jason, the thing that he was able to do, he turned around games with his glove also. And you kind of alluded to it within those numbers, just his instincts for the game on the bases, in the outfield, on defense, i.e. the catch that he made in San Francisco a couple years ago in that Death Valley in right central. Big hits. I mean, big hits, big moments. And one of the things, Jay, I wrote at the very end of my notes for today is that there was no moment too big for you. That's how I felt. I regardless if you were on a streak hitting wise or not, regardless of that, I told you this. I've always felt better when you were on the field for us. I felt a better chance of winning just because of the impact you had on the people around you. So those numbers are reflective of that, I believe. It's the ability to play the complete game of baseball. And I think that's something you've taken pride in, and that's something that I really appreciated about you.
Oh, man. No, I appreciate that, fellas. The numbers and the stuff, but behind the scenes. It's really been a pleasure, and I've been fortunate enough to obviously be on a lot of good teams that put winning first. But I've just been fortunate enough my whole life playing baseball, like set out every single day to win, and I mean, a lot of numbers come from that, but, you know, just a lot of good vibes, a lot of, you know, overcoming a lot of adversity comes from that as well. So that's just been who I am and what I love about the game.
That's something I was thought about or wondering about too, Jay. innate? Was this innate when you were a kid growing up, but where did you really establish this method of player, this team attitude first? Was it a particular person, somebody that inspired you? How did you arrive at this particular point where you understood and realized the importance of putting team first?
Well, at 7 years old, I feel like I was really fortunate to learn the game from a coach we had. His name is Ricky Archer. I want to say he played college ball at Columbus, at a college in Columbus, Georgia. But he taught us like the game, the base running, to know like how many outs there are before each play. You know, just the sixth sense type of things, you know, how to get a lead, how to play defense, and where literally every position had to be on the field. So learning that at 7 years old, and then the very next year at 8 years old, our team won the Roberto Clemente AABC World Series, and we had to travel to Denver, Colorado, from McDonough, Georgia, to go play in that World Series. It was just winning at a very early age, and then every year after that, I craved more and more and more. You know, from having a group that held each other accountable, wanted to play the game the right way, and had a lot of fun going out there and just competing your ass off. And, you know, the results were the results, but you knew every day you put your best foot forward to try to win. And then lastly, growing up in Georgia, watching the Atlanta Braves, and then my mom being from New York, Yankees and Braves being my two favorite teams growing up in the 90s, I just had a lot of reinforced watching teams win.
That's great. I mean, I really thought that it had to have been impacted upon you when you were very young, and you just validated all that. Very cool.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too, Jason, once you get to the big leagues, because you got there at a very young age, who were the ones that you considered to be mentors that, even if it wasn't something somebody talking to you, by watching them how to be a professional and how to be a team player, that you learned some things about that at a young age?
I will say in the very beginning, being 20 years old, 2010, I was fortunate to have a group of vets. Eric Hinskes, Brian McCann, Chipper Jones, Tim Hudson, Derek Lowe's, Martin Prado, David Ross was there, of course, just to name a few guys. Billy Wagner took me under his wing, Troy Gloss. But outfield-wise and then everyday player-wise, I got to give so much credit to Michael Bourne. We got him in a trade with Houston in 2011, so he played with us that half of the season and then the full 2012. He just really allowed me to sit back and learn how to be a big leaguer every day, how to move on and off the field, how to get your work done, you know, how to be a professional, and he's one of the most positive people I know. So it was just another reinforcement for me of everything that I had learned and enjoyed about the game at this level.
Does that come right down to the point where you came off the field, off of defense, getting back to the dugout, that you would always tap gloves with the other outfielders?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember where that started. That might have even started in high school, you know, with the teams that I played with in East Cobb.
Okay.
Because being a 15, 16-year-old playing for the East Cobb Astros, you played against the best of the best in the country every single year. And that meant you're playing against, you know, 18 and under teams where guys are committed to college and whatnot and going to be draft picks. Just a lot of camaraderie in those games. And just to paint a picture, my junior summer playing for the Astros, our team, we went 96-4. You know, and that's obviously that's a lot of damn baseball to right. be in mm-hmm. high school, but there was mm-hmm. so much competition. And so I just took certain things from those teams and the winning teams over the years and just always were a part of me.
That's incredible. That's an incredible record. Go ahead, Tommy.
You know, Joe, I remember Jason writing a story about Jason that rookie year, and he was telling me stories about playing more than 100 games as a kid growing up. We're talking about as an adolescent or even younger. I was blown away by it. The baseball world was changing, the whole travel business, and guys really diving in and getting an opportunity to play a ton of baseball. And obviously, Jason played at a high level. And what's interesting, and this is really close to my heart, Jason has really made it come full circle. He has now built a baseball academy, the Jason Hayward Baseball Academy, in Chicago, in North Austin neighborhood on the west side. 150,000 square feet to serve what really had been underserved communities. And when it comes to opportunities to play sports in general, but baseball specifically. And it's just a wonderful thing that he's doing to give back. And Jason, I want you to explain, obviously it's close to your heart, And Chicago now does seem like it's your adopted hometown. When did this idea take root in your mind to do something like this?
I appreciate you asking me about that, Tom. So 2020 was a different year for obviously all of us around the world. But athlete wise, it was really cool in Chicago to come together with some athletes from other sports. And it's a small world and everything happens for a reason. I believe in that. Steven Souza, who I played one season with in 2020, and he introduced me to Sam Acho, who played for the Bears for a little bit, played for a couple different teams. But Sam introduced me to this nonprofit called By the Hand Club, and they do charter schools. And through their program, they, you know, by the hand, they take kids from pre-K to elementary to middle school, on to high school, and then on to college and into a profession, and stay with them in one of the toughest communities in this country, in the neighborhood of Austin. So we had the opportunity to go into that community on the west side of Chicago. We went into some healing circles. You know, there was, you know, some social injustice things that going on at that time, and just wanted to bring some peace there with kids in that community. But they brought the idea of letting us know they were wanting to start a sports facility in North Austin, and they asked me to be the head of the baseball part of this facility. And, you know, it didn't take long for me to say, yeah, like, I want in. They were very organized, had this very well thought out. They had the land, and they've been acquiring land over time. And once they shared their vision, I said, I'm absolutely wanted to be a part of this to start something different. I saw these communities in Chicago, especially, you know, in a year like 2020, where a lot of people were hurting. Not to say that's the first time they've been hurting, but it was just, you know, an opportunity for us to not have a job at the moment and go actually break bread with these people, to put a facility over there, give them a community center where that's not a normal thing. You know, these families don't have, they have more liquor stores in their communities than they do grocery stores, and places to convene as communities. So that's a big part of why I wanted to be in this facility. But then again, just starts with opportunity to, you know, give kids somewhere to go, to have some accountability, to build some team sport, you know, character, some incentive to have somewhere to go that they can take pride in their community. But then lastly, I gotta say, the way this community in Austin, the kids and the parents, you know, reacted to things like this, the positivity, I'm interested to see them make it their own and see what comes from it.
That's pretty impressive, man. I knew of it, but I didn't realize to what extent. And your explanation is beautiful, man. I've known you for a while. I didn't realize how deeply all this ran with you. And it's really impressive to hear you explain yourself that well.
I appreciate it.
This is the Cubs 2022 Roberto Clemente nominee. And that's one of the biggest awards you can be nominated for in baseball, and well-deserved. So we can't talk Jason Hayward without talking about Game 7, 2016 World Series. And we'll do that right after a quick break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Book of Joe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Book of Joe.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that, he is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to the Book of Joe podcast. We're joined by our special guest, Jason Hayward. And Jason, I mentioned that 2016 Game 7 World Series. How often does that game come up around fans for you?
No, that Game 7, it comes up enough, right? Like, just and I just say that because, Joe, you know how it is with Cubs fans, that they're so appreciative and grateful that we got it done.
Yep.
But, you know, some of them are just kind of tickled to know, like, all the little intricacies of our journey there. And, you know, when it comes up, you know, I'm happy to, you know, talk about it. But I know that only the people that were there in that room in that moment and everyone that was, you know, obviously a part of our group, only we can feel, you know, all those moments and leading into a Game 7, which was crazy in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I've asked about it often also – we've been on kind of a book tour too, and I get that question a lot. But my recap of it is, I was when that occurred, the rain started to come on down. I'm walking in that dugout in Cleveland, downstairs and then upstairs, and all you guys are peeling off to the right, and I go upstairs and I'm talking with Jed Hoyer, just looking at the rain situation on the iPad, and then somebody said, "Yeah, Jason called the team meeting downstairs," and to me. And this is my explanation. It was so appropriate that you would do that and not me. The peer component of all this to me is what really stands out. And it also indicates the respect that you had among the group. I don't think there was anybody else there at that time capable of even having the thought of drawing them all into the room simultaneously like that and come across with the message that you delivered. So as a manager, I'm eternally grateful for that moment because I believe, I really truly believe this sincerely, that it had as great an impact on anything that we did that night in regards to us winning that World Series.
No, I appreciate that. And I mean, being there and being there from our Cubs convention starting in January of 2016 to that last game, you know, I know you're not blowing smoke there, Joe. Just from, you know, the journey we all had, you know, everyone in that room knew that I wasn't just getting people together to step in and be a rah-rah guy or anything like that. It wasn't about me. You know, I just wanted to remind them that, look, this is the baseball season, and we all go through ups and downs, and no one's handled those ups and downs the way we have throughout the year. Like, we've done that better than any other team, and I said, and we're not going to stop now. You know, like, we play this game a certain way. You know, we handle adversity, you know, a certain way, and we're going to go out there and do this our way, the way the Cubs do. We laugh at it. We laugh at those challenges, and, you know, we don't care about the result. Like, we wanted to get that W and end the curse, whatever, but more importantly, just, you know, to win a ring. But still, I really believe that we had to do it our way and not focus on, you know, a moment that's already passed us by. We just had to focus on what was in front of us and the opportunities we still had. And I mean, I tell people every time, the right people were in the room. You know, that doesn't happen with that group, without that group.
That really illustrates everything I talked about regarding don't forget the heartbeat. And I really think that moment that we achieved there that night when you went into that room with the guys, that really brought that to the forefront for me, because everybody's always looking for these analytical methods of winning a baseball game or numerical methods of winning a baseball game. And a lot of times we're forgetting the human element. And right there, it cannot be illustrated more prominently than what happened that night with you and the boys. The human element, the appealing to emotion and thoughts, and even the strategic plan that we had set out from the beginning of the year regarding how we're going to approach the day. Things are going to go awry. One of the first things we talked about in the team meetings prior to the playoffs beginning, to expect something bad to happen, and it's going to happen. And when something bad does happen, what's going to set us apart is how we react to that moment. So this is the kind of stuff that I don't think gets enough play, because everybody believes teams win just based on numbers. Teams win based on personalities, really good baseball players, character, and being able to handle difficult moments in a way that's unique to that particular group. And that really, that's not forgetting the heartbeat, and that's what happened on that particular night. And probably as a manager, that's what I'm most proud of, reflectively looking back on that 2016 World Series.
No, absolutely. And I just want to say, you know, on the show and why we have this open forum, which I think is awesome, you know, with this group of people. But, you know, Joe, those were things that you were preaching from, you know, day one, you know, when I signed with the team. And you also, you know, will tell us first that you don't like to have a lot of meetings. You know, you don't like talking at us. You want us to kind of police ourselves and that, but, you know, to build our own, you know, gelling and mojo or swagger, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I feel like you were always saying those exact words that you just finished speaking on. You know, who can handle the toughest moments the best and overcome those? But I feel like it's very easy to miss that. You know how it is. Your manager's talking, you got a great team. We won 103 regular season games.
Yeah.
Super easy to overlook that. But when we had that moment right there, we needed it the most. And you've always been consistent with that.
Appreciate it. Let me ask you this too, because I mean, I'm listening to your child that I didn't even realize. We go back to 7, 8 years old to really establish this method of operation, this mm-hmm. team spirited kind of a method. At any point from that moment on, 7 through the point you got to the Braves and eventually Cardinals and the Cubs, was there a moment, a struggle kind of a moment there where you kind of doubted yourself, you were confused with things, that you may have actually considered taking a different course? I'm always interested in that because I think a lot of successful people, mm-hmm. when they retrace their existence, they're going to go back to different moments in their career where the struggle occurred and they have to make decisions and you kind of doubt what you're doing right now. Did that ever arrive for you? Because from what I'm hearing, and it seems to be that you were pretty much devoted to a particular method of thinking or line mm-hmm. without any real doubt in your head. So was there that struggle moment that you really were considering doing something else possibly?
Well, fortunately, I think that's one thing that comes with winning. You know, it covers up a lot of things, but mm-hmm. I've been on winning teams every step of the way, and I never doubted myself. I knew the game was going to be hard. I expected to fail. That's, you know, it wasn't cliche for me. They say with baseball, you fail more times than you succeed. Well, I truly believe that. And so that gave me a sense of peace, the fact that I knew I was going to go out on the field every day to help my team win, to put that best foot forward. And over time, that's what happened. You know, I saw those things play out, did a lot of winning things on the field, off the field with teammates. And so I never had an opportunity to doubt myself, and that I just knew that when I'm 14 years old, you know, I said I want to play baseball professionally. I step on the field with 18-year-olds and they're all throwing 95, 96, 7, 8, right? Mm-hmm. The field got a little bit bigger. Bases got bigger. The fences get taller and players are stronger. I knew like, hey, if you want to do this, it's put up or shut up. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed that challenge. And like I said, just obviously winning helps cure a lot of doubts.
Absolutely. Tom?
Yeah. Just as to me, I'm sort of a neutral observer in that Game 7 story you're going through, Jason. I was in the dugout as a reporter for Fox, and I saw how down the Cubs were after the Indians came back and tied that game. And I also saw a completely different team that came back into the dugout. I didn't know that you had held that meeting, Jason. I just knew the team sounded and looked completely different. I'm convinced the Cubs don't win that game without what happened during that rain delay. And I've got to go back to something you said. It's sort of a confirmation of a couple of things. Joe's methodologies that allowed players to be empowered, where you could step up and have a meeting like that without telling the manager, hey, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you've gone through your background to prepare for that moment, a guy who put winning above all else. That was true not just that night, but every night that you played baseball. So I have to remind people, and I remind you, Jason, this World Series, where you're known for it being the ultimate glue guy, began with you on the bench. And if I remember right, I think Joe talked to you before game one. Here you get to the World Series and you're not in the starting lineup. That to me is the ultimate glue guy who's going to look beyond whatever his situation is and say, what can I do to help us win, period? Do you remember was there a conversation before game one?
There was a conversation. But I have to say, and this is with over time and more understanding, you know, since then, things are happening so fast out there, right? The way, you know, a team, front office, you know, manager, coaching staff prepared for a game in a series, you know, all that stuff happens fast, you know, within itself. But when it's World Series and you got all the things the Cubs had going on around it, you know, there wasn't much time for, you know, taking a, you know, side conversation. And I'm not talking about just with me, but anyone. You know, it was like we got to get, you know, the guys that we got going. We got media. You got, you know, people ask you a billion questions on, you know, it's been 108 years. It's Cleveland. It's been whatever, you know, 85 years or whatever it was for them. So our conversation before the game was pretty quick. And, you know, I believe that I should be playing, no doubt. And I feel like that's what every single baseball player has to have and better have in those moments. You better believe you need to be on the field. But I knew what our group had, and, you know, I just wanted to hear, you know, what we got, you know, what they were thinking. So I just knew how to prepare. Was never looking for an answer on, hey, Jason, like, you know, well, we're going to get you in the fifth inning. And, you know, we really think this wasn't looking to be coddled. I just needed, you know, something. So I knew, like, well, let me have my mind right enough to do what I need to do to help this team win. And that was that. So I had that conversation. You know, Joe spoke to me, you know, said that they believed that, you know, the guys we had, which we had some guys that had been there in 15 the year before already and contributed. And look, you got a 103-win season in the regular season. Everyone contributes, right? It's not just one group. So you really believe that anyone you put out there in the best matchup is going to work and going to do their job that night. But I knew what I had. I knew what I had to bring. And no, so that World Series started with me on the bench for three games in a row against right-handed pitching. And that was my beginning to my first World Series appearance.
That is just so impressive that from that sitting against, as you said, right-handed pitching, not used to that, and being there in the crunch moment for your team. I mean, that's the ultimate glue guy to me, Joe.
Absolutely. And that really, sums it all up. That's why I really enjoyed my time with Jason so much. He was the kind of guy, and I've talked about this in the book, if I tell you the truth, you might not like me for a week or 10 days. If I lie to you, you can hate me forever. And so you with guys like Jay, you never want to dissemble. You never want to, you know, parse out the truth possibly in different ways. You just got to tell Jason exactly what's going on. And Jason, just like he described, he needed to know that, and then he could prepare. He knows how to prepare for that night or that game. And that is every manager's, any kind of captain, team, coach, whatever, head coach. That's the kind of guy you want. And everybody talks about being a team player. And this goes for coaches and managers too. We all talk about it, but then you actually got to live it and breathe it. And everything Jay just described right there indicates what we've been talking about to this point in this podcast. He is that guy. And it started when he was 7 or 8 years of age. And it was embedded in him to the point where he gets to the World Series and we ask him to not start, or, you know, he's not going to be a starter for the first three games. And it cannot be handled any better, to the point where he's possibly the most inspirational component of that team victory in 2016.
This is Tom Verducci with Joe Madden, and you're listening to the Book of Joe podcast. And when we get back, we'll talk some more with Jason Hayward about what's next.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Book of Joe podcast. This is Tom Verducci with Joe Madden. And Jason, before we let you go, there's two things we need you to do. Number one is give us an idea of what's ahead now for Jason Hayward. I know the Jason Hayward Baseball Academy is going to have pretty much a soft opening in the next month or two, up and running full time in 2023. Give us an idea of where you're at with that and especially your baseball career and what might be next for you.
So I guess I'll lump the academy stuff in with off the field. You know, first I'm going to be a dad. You know, we got an 8-month-year-old now, Messi. My wife V and I, we're doing that, and we love having, you know, a bigger family, strength in numbers. So that's been an amazing experience. You know, I know Joe, you have kids, Tom. If you have kids, like, there's nothing better. But you know, going on to this academy, hoping to have construction done first week of January, so we can have this soft opening. You know, and get that in before kids go back to school or right after, to give them like a fun weekend to pop their year off in 2023. But then, as far as baseball goes, man, I'm looking to get with a team that's trying to win a ring. You know, like, obviously, you know, results, you know, we'd love to have them. Don't know how they're going to pan out, but I'm looking to play for a team that, you know, wants to give me an opportunity to join what they have going on and put their best foot forward to try and win a ring and compete for that in 2023.
After hearing all this and hearing an even deeper side of you, for me, have you even given consideration eventually after the playing days are done as what kind of employment would you like to get into at that point? Would you like to stay in the game of baseball? Is your academy that important that you're going to still stay in baseball in another way? But as you're describing everything, and as you've talked about everything today, pretty impressive, brother. Really impressive, your thoughts and where you've been going, where you've gotten to with all of this. So have you given any consideration to post-baseball playing, what you may want to do in those years to follow?
No, I appreciate that, Joe. I mean, of course, it's nice to have that constant in, you know, wanting to have an obligation with the academy. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that if I do stay in baseball, then that's only going to be better for the academy. You know, so many guys will come through Chicago throughout the year, of course, playing for the White Sox, playing for the Cubs and other teams. So it'll be easy to network. But I'm not sure what after playing side looks like. I would love to help a team compete. I would love to be able to shine light to players on, you know, what it's like to come into this as a young kid and play in this profession. You know, it's a job. You know, I think now it's really cool that the game is getting that much closer to young guys that are in high school and college. It's a beautiful thing, but I don't think they know that checking in every day is you're going into the training room, getting your body right. You're going into the cage, getting loose, and no, you're punching the clock. You know, I want to shine light on that stuff, but also having so many perspectives on, you know, being a free agent at 26 years old, you know, playing for three historic franchises. I think I have a lot to, you know, insight to give to guys, like playing for the Cubs and us winning that World Series. You know, I said it in, I guess you'd call it my exit press conference with the Cubbies earlier this year that, you know, winning is a sacrifice, and there's so much debt that you have to pay for what it takes to do that. And, you know, in everyone's world, you know, even watching, you know, our team, you know, over the years, you know, business-wise, seeing players move on, seeing Joe move on, you hate to see it, you know, but I don't think people are prepared for, like, what it takes to win and then what it takes, you know, the aftermath of that. Like, it's not always easy, but, you know, is that mentally taxing? There's that much dedication, that there's that much time away from family. So whatever I can do to find a role that fits me there, whether it's with one team or whether it's with, you know, a bunch of teams and a bunch of guys, I think that's where I can help out a lot of guys.
It's a beautiful thought. Well done.
Well, you have so much to offer baseball, Jason, both on the amateur level and obviously still on the major league level. We wish you all the best. The word winner certainly comes to mind when you hear the name Jason Hayward. That will not change. The other thing I'd like you to do, we wanted to start a new segment here, Jason. We call it a reading from the Book of Joe. I want you to pick a number between 1 and 368. That's how many pages we have in our book, the Book of Joe.
Okay.
Just randomly pick a number, and we'll go to a reading in the course of that page,
okay,
which I think will give mm-hmm. fans an idea that this book has a lot in it. So your choice, your pick here, 1 to 368.
I don't know if I'm first to pick a number.
You are.
I hope I am.
You are.
I want to know what's on page 108.
Nice.
Oh, that's a great call. Wow.
See, he could have gone with this number, but man, he chose 108.
You boy, you talk about great leadoff hitters. Awesome.
That's right. I'm curious now, too. What's on 108, man?
All right. It's the story of Mark McLemore.
Ooh.
Remember that one, Joe?
Absolutely.
You had him in the minor leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, have you met Mark? Jason, do you know Mark McLemore?
I don't believe so.
Well, he's with the Texas Rangers right now doing a lot of broadcasting. I had called him Fluff, had Fluff when he was 17 years of age in Salem, Oregon. Had a great major league career. Really shined as a like a utility guy, like really a wonderful super utility guy. Mm-hmm. We still stay in touch. When he laughs, he sounds like my brother Mark, actually. And we've always had this really strong connection. So anyway, this is good stuff. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, well, Mark, and I'm not sure if this ever happened with you, Jason, but he has like a lot of young players. He was homesick and wanted mm-hmm. to quit baseball. Mm-hmm. He was probably what, Joe, 18, 19 years
17.
Old?
He was 17, 17, 18. Yeah, from San Diego. Yep.
Wow. So here we go. Joe calls him into his room to convince him to stick around and keep playing baseball. And what Joe had told him was that what he was missing was no longer there. And this is a quote from Joe. He conceded eventually that I was right. Going back home would have been the worst thing he could have possibly done. And he ended up having a great season. We win the Northwest League Championship with him playing second base and Kevin Davis playing shortstop, both 17, 18 years old at the most, and we beat the Medford A's, who were just chock full of college players at the time. Fluff goes on from there. He goes to the AA Texas League, gets hurt. We send him to Anaheim to rehab at that time because everybody thought this guy is so important to the organization. It was one of the bigger mistakes the Angels made at that point and something I learned a great lesson from. So, Joe, you talked Mark into sticking around, but you made a great point that they brought him to Anaheim as a minor league player to rehab, and he kind mm-hmm. of got, I don't know, what do you call it, major league-itis?
Yeah, got a little full of himself at that point. When he came back, he wasn't quite the same, and it took him some time to get over it. And you have to understand, this is a kid that I never thought that could happen with. Mark was one of the most humble, nice, fun, sincere young men that you're ever going to want to meet. So if it could happen to him, it could happen to anybody. So the moral of the story right there for me is he gets hurt in AA, should stay in AA and get treated like everybody else should have gotten treated at that point. Mm-hmm. It was not the time to accelerate anything for him because you don't know as a young person at 17 if he's able to handle that particular moment. He doesn't have the kind of cachet of experience that maybe even like Jason had, starting at 7, 8 years of age and moving all over the country and playing and winning 96 out of 100 games, whatever. So anyway, he came back. He was a different cat. And it really bummed me out for a long time. He eventually recovered, but it took him a while. It actually took him a while to get back to the point where he used to paint an eye on his flap on his shoe. At that time, he used to have flap like a flap. It was the eye of the tiger from the Rocky movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before his at-bat, he'd go up to home plate. He'd reach down, look at the eye of the tiger, and put it back down because it was underneath. And then he'd proceed to hit a line drive up the middle because he just wanted to have the eye of the tiger and everything that he did. I love the guy for that. But anyway, the moral of the story was that really be careful because you think some people may not change because you think they got it wired and they're so grounded and they're so well done in all different ways. And Mark taught me that that's not necessarily true. So it's not always, you can't read the book by its cover sometimes. You can't judge it. And that's what I learned from that particular moment with Mark.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd love for you to meet him sometimes, Jay. Hey, you guys would really hit it off. He's a beautiful human being. We stay in touch. And yeah, that's just a typical example of what happened in the minor leagues. That was 1982 in Salem, Oregon, Oregon. And I could see him sitting in my room like it was yesterday.
That's awesome. Could I just say to that story, and then I love that there's a book of these, that it's so hard to, you know, obviously they always say the cliche, hindsight 2020, you know, everything's all trial and error, but it's so hard to, when, especially being a part of winning and wanting to develop people, to be in the moment and do everything, quote unquote, perfectly, you know? So I love that you have these experiences and you have a book of them to go back and say, well, you know, let me reflect on these a little bit and then share that. Because it's so hard to do in the moment. And I do believe you need some time and separation to look back and dissect and see everything for its true value.
100%.
Well said. 100%. Well, Jason, we can't thank you enough. This has just been fascinating. And I personally want to thank you for not just the way you've represented the Cubs and every team you played for in the major leagues, but especially giving back to this game and especially to underserved communities. I think that's the ultimate test of what it takes to be a winner, is that you give back to this game. And it's near and dear to my heart. I'm about this game of baseball with a small b, not necessarily Major League Baseball, but the game of baseball. Maybe not future major leaguers at the Jason Hayward Academy. Maybe you'll have a couple, hopefully. But it's all the life lessons that you're teaching those kids that I think that will be an even bigger legacy than Game 7. So thank you.
Yeah, same for me, Jay Ward. Thanks for coming on, brother. And please, best of V and Messi. Looking forward to seeing you guys again. I wish you nothing but the best of success this coming season. And of course, with your endeavor with the Academy, I think that's awesome. And I'm really proud to call you a friend.
No, thank you guys. Thank you both so much for having me on. Really appreciate, you know, you guys just taking the time and opening up a forum. You know, I think it's, you know, super hard to let people peek inside of our minds and the thoughts that we have and the things that we wish we could make right, or, you know, things that we learn from as well in this. There's a lot of accolades, no doubt, but to be able to highlight the other things and bring it all full circle is amazing. And you know, lastly, this game's taken me so far, you know, around the world, you know, obviously different stadiums, clubhouses, you know, in front of different people, but these baseball mind relationships are super awesome. So again, thanks for having me, guys.
Got it, Jay. Be well, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Joe, that was amazing. Jason Hayward, wow. I mean, you knew firsthand how impressive a person Jason is, but after listening to that, my question is, how does a major league organization not want to hire Jason Hayward to play, to be in the front office? I want him on my team, no matter what it is.
Yeah, listen, he and I were together for several years, but even this brief, 30 minutes of conversation, he revealed a greater depth to me than I ever realized in the past. His words, really well chosen. His descriptions, his accounts are outstanding. His heart's definitely in the right place, what he's looking forward to do. I love the way he speaks matter-of-factly. Jason's always, I felt, he always thinks before he says something. He's really well thought out, and it really came through in this episode today also. It makes me like him even more. If that's even possible, but it also validates everything I thought about him, the great team player that he is and he still is. And you're right, he's going to benefit some group this year. And it's a shame sometimes that we only consider batting average or OPS as the standard to which or by which you're going to possibly sign somebody. Jay Ward plays the complete game. He's a complete game player. His defense is outstanding. His base running. And again, I could go, you know, the five tools, whatever you want to, but then he's got that sixth and seventh tool, his ability to relate to people in the clubhouse. And if you need a player or two actually mentored in the appropriate way, he's the guy you're looking for. When I was with the Rays, I thought we got over the hump because we did sign Troy Percival and Cliff Floyd and Eric Kinski. And he also mentioned Ski when he was in Atlanta. These are the kind of players that got the 2008 Rays over the hump. And it was for a variety of different reasons and not just because of an OPS. And again, you asked the question, I was going to ask it the same thing. What's going to happen afterwards? And what did he want to do this year? And again, I love this answer. So I was really impressed, and even more impressed knowing him for so many years. I came away even greatly impressed by his answers and his thoughts today.
Well, we've been talking a lot about glue guys on this podcast. And if you weren't sure what a glue guy is after listening to that podcast and listening to Jason Hayward, the ultimate glue guy, you know exactly what we are talking about. And I love the fact that in our first rendition of the reading from the book of Joe, he went to 108. Like you said, everything with a purpose. Right. That was right. Spot on. Love it.
It was. And I was trying to think, what was his number? And 22, I think, right?
Yes.
And I thought he might have gone to 22, but he jumps right to the team number 108.
Glue guy. Joe, you got something to take us home here?
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorites, I don't remember exactly where I read this, but and again, it comes down to the present tense and a lot of the stuff that Jay Ward was talking about. But if we take care of the seconds, the minutes, hours, and days will take care of themselves. Stay in the present tense.
Love it. We'll see you next time on the Book of Joe podcast.
Later, my brother. Thank you.
The Book of Joe podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.